what was on his mind. He said, money, honey, money, honey, money, honey, if you want to get along with me. Well, I screamed and I hollered, I was so hard pressed. I called the woman that I loved the best. I finally got my baby by the half past three. She said, I'd like to know what you want with me. I said, money, honey, money, honey, money, honey, if you want to get along with me. Another man take my place. I say I love you. Money, honey, money, honey, money, honey, if you wanna get along with me.
Yeah, money, honey, if you wanna get along with me. I'm just pulling some strange music out of the air here lately. Why not? Enjoy it. I sent a email over to my doctor friend in Indiana, Dr. Fred. And he and his wife introduced Ella Fitzgerald to their four children when they were home from college. When I did a multi-part series on Ella Fitzgerald, probably a year and a half ago on Friday nights. Friday nights, I would take the night off and just say enough politics and let's just enjoy the music. Grab the wife, the girlfriend, dance. Something I still believe in. That's the only reason I regret not doing Friday programs anymore, because I thoroughly enjoyed doing the music. Came across an amazing album by Ella. And it's all been transcribed on YouTube via vinyl. And sent that over to Fred yesterday. Haven't heard back from him on it yet. But that's typical. He's a doctor. The guy works. Doesn't always get to his texts as quickly as he'd like to. Came across another album on Ella today. It's interesting. It's an album that I've owned for many, 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 many years. I don't think it was ever released on a CD. Basically, it was Ella Fitzgerald doing blues. And it just flat blew me away. The entire album has now been made available on YouTube. I grabbed it today. Funny thing is, I doing some work on my stereo a couple of weeks ago. I've still got old-fashioned stereo equipment, three different sets, and one of my receivers is it's an old style receiver. It's all manual and got a lot of dust built up in it. We had to kind of oil and clean things out and blow things out. The first album I pulled out to check out was my old Ella Sings the Blues. And at that time we were still having problems, but it's all working out now. Anyway, let's move on. For those of you who haven't figured this out, you are listening to I think, a Tuesday installment of The Edge of Darkness. Our new broadcasting time, our new schedule, new program, not new program, but... And it became official today. We will be here three nights a week for a two-hour set from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Thursday. So I hope you'll continue to join us. Came across one other piece today that became very interesting to me, because it's something I've talked about for a while. It deals with the digital currency mess. Came across an interesting article earlier today by Scott Powell, writing for the American Thinker today. America in the 21st century has been on an accelerating descent, not unlike what befell ancient Rome. For some four centuries, Rome's Senate and Constitution provided continuity, which sustained the Roman Republic through various challenges. But in the end, what befell Rome from barbarian invasion, political corruption, and mobs that were manipulated and used by its Caesars was a rampage against reason and freedom, leading to the Republic's demise and transition to a centralized imperial authority under emperors. Now, America's style and state of political decline and cultural degeneration differ in many ways from that of ancient Rome, but the big picture has striking similarities. The downward spiral of America is punctuated by, first, massive corruption of elites inside and outside government who go along with manipulating the masses through the creation and the sustaining of narratives that benefit them while keeping you and I largely ignorant about what is really going on, including threats to our health and our very survival. Secondly, the loss of confidence in the integrity of U.S. elections, which demoralizes the public, undermines the legitimacy of government. Third, the erosion of privacy, property rights, and freedom, some of which we've discussed earlier tonight. Fourth, unfortunately, we have to make reference to the Biden's administration's deliberate open border policy to facilitate the influx of millions of invaders for political purposes. Political purposes? To hope that those people will cast their votes for the demon craps. How will they be able to vote? Like with anything else, they'll get jobs. They'll get EBT cards. They'll get education for their kids. They'll get free medical. All of which you and I'll pay for, of course. Fifth, the polarization of the judiciary, the attendant two-tiered justice system that has undermined this rule of law and order in this country. Sixth, the automation of American society, the deterioration of family and community resulting from elite narratives that divide the people in many instances around race and gender. Well, 8 years ago, our discussion of gender would have been male and female. Now it's... never mind. And the seventh punctuation, uncontrollable government profligacy and accompanying kickback corruption, the continuing trajectory of which is certain to bring insolvency and collapse of the U.S. monetary system sooner than later. So during the last 30 years, the United Nations and the New World Order organizations, such as the World Economic Forum, have promoted and legitimized replacement migration policies adopted by the EU and its member countries. Replacement migration primarily drew immigrants from... My sound is getting glitchy. I don't know what that means.
I lost track of where I was.
There's no change in my connection.
It's plugged in.
Nothing's loosened up.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not going to go through this again today. There's not been one thing that I've changed since we've been on the air. So now what are we dealing with?
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry about that, folks. We have technical difficulties once in a while. Anyway, we're talking about what's been going on over the last 30 years with the manipulation of so much of people, of economics. Population of Muslims in Europe tripled. Christianity's influence has been receding. And although migration of Muslims to Europe has slowed in recent years, their relative numbers continue to grow fast due to birth rates that are 54% higher than that of host country families. Well, we're dealing with the same situation in this country. The birth rates of illegal invaders into this country is far outperformed what citizens of America have been performing. Islam is clearly on a path to becoming ascendant over Christianity in Europe in the near future. Muslim migrants' open aspiration to impose their religion and Sharia law on their host countries is already creating havoc in dozens of European cities, will undoubtedly contribute to the destabilization and collapse of national sovereignty. And my friends, in this country, replacement migration operates with the same purpose of transforming and destabilizing the national sovereignty of America. A small portion of the 8 million diverse migrants who've entered the United States during the first 3 years of the Biden administration are potentially hostile foreign agents. Ah, the gentleman who was listening last night, oh, he'll have fun tearing into that commentary. Don't waste your time, pal. Get your head out of your assets. These people are becoming sleeper cells whose mission, once activated, is to strike infrastructure targets within this country upon directives from their sponsors, be that China, Iran, or other adversaries. And even if the number of those hostile foreign agents is as small as 1% of the 8 million migrant number, which we damn well know is way too low, could well mean that some 80,000 terrorists could simultaneously conduct military operations within this country, coinciding with hostile action from their sponsor countries, like against likely targets such as Taiwan or Israel. And an important part of the globalist agenda to advance the New World Order is to weaken countries by exacerbating division within and then break down the old system of national sovereignties as a last step prior to more aggressive stages embracing global governance. And hence, division within the United States has been fomented by critical race theory, training, diversity, equity, inclusion, policies of these natures. The imposition of ESG mandates on most all public companies from influence and proxy voting from the largest shareholders like BlackRock and Vanguard. The destruction and rewriting of our history. The rise of a new secular privileged class operating in academia, government agencies, social media that determine what can be said in public discourse. And most recently, the transgender movement is being used as just one more interest group that brings division and weakens military readiness and the general fabric of society. But another necessary component of this New World Order agenda is sustaining the secular and surrogate religion of climate change as the primary means to transform energy sourcing in this country and Europe. And climate change belief, based more on dogma than science, stresses that moderating climate change requires reduction of CO2 emissions by substituting reliance on oil and gas hydrocarbons with sustainable energy, primarily wind and solar power, which is at the heart of the Green New Deal, which now goes beyond reducing CO2 emissions and includes reducing methane and nitrogen emissions, which doesn't just mean higher energy costs that accompany intermittent and unreliable wind and solar power. It also means agricultural transformation, significant reduction in cattle farming, beef production, drastic reduction in the use of nitrogen-based fertilizers, the latter of which leads to dramatic drops in crop yields, which causes starvation and depopulation, all of which is part of the globalist agenda to achieve their stated goal of a 50% reduction in the world's population. That would be the elimination of some 4 billion people. And it goes on and on and on. Maybe one of the greatest threats to people's freedom is their loss of privacy, which is being accelerated through expanding applications of artificial intelligence, or AI. In fact, the global elite acknowledge that privacy will no longer be a right in the future because it is incompatible with their plans for creating a total surveillance state utilizing social credit scoring tied to central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. At present, 8 countries have developed and are implementing CBDCs: China, India, Brazil, Nigeria, Jamaica, Singapore, the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, and the Bahamas. And the United States is now one of over 100 other countries in the development stage of CBDCs. Look, it's one thing to have digital records for security and convenience. The IRS receives and tracks digital records of most all financial transactions that involve American citizens. And that information is shared with the Social Security and Medicare and other government agencies. The digital age is already quite advanced, my friends. And what is unacceptable under the U.S. Constitution is the intrusion of government into citizens' private lives. The total surveillance state and social credit scoring tied to CBDCs must be rejected by American citizens. It is the critical firewall needed to stop, unwind, and reverse America's downward spiral and wrest America from the tentacles of the New World Order and globalist control. Now, what's interesting about sharing this entire column with you from Scott Powell, the title of the article is one thing, but the direction he takes the article is a little bit more intense. The title, Saving America Starts with Rejecting Digital Currency. You can read it for yourself at Sierra Madre Precious Metals. .com. Well, as my friend Charles says, sheeple may safely graze. Marcus Tullius Cicero, his final words were, "There is nothing proper about what you are doing, soldier. But do try to kill me properly." Another quote from Cicero. A nation cannot survive treason from within. Cicero's pursuers decapitated him. And once discovered, he bowed to his captors, leaning his head out of the litter in a gladiatorial gesture to ease the task. And amid the hate and the turmoil of our world, we relent so the sheeple may safely graze. We avert our gaze, content knowing that the barter for security was worth the price, our liberty, so that the sheeple may safely graze. I ask you, my friends, was it? Is it really worth the price? Was our liberty worth the spurious safety of pantomime theater? We've allowed this country to deteriorate to this present state where cities are unsafe for anyone. And the refuse of our species live in sidewalk camps like vermin in their own filth. Self-destructive in thought and action, escaping reality with an illicit pharmacopoeia of substances intended to dull remaining senses. Avoiding the burden of remorse, escaping the ties that remind them of bad decisions and squandered lives spent chasing the pipe dream of an unachievable American dream. Yeah, American dream. By the way, the American dream was an advertising slogan so many years ago. All of this has become far too easy to blame society, the country, and the misfortune for this self-inflicted catatonia. The drugs dull the shame of an objectionable wasted life's mistakes. And these dispossessed are underfoot, yet practically invisible, relegated to the fringe of society and life's gutter, lower than so much detritus on the ocean's bottom. But like our unattended garbage, they tend to accumulate. And now they are legion, numbering over 500,000. They are here. And like everything that ushered them to this point, the causes and effects go unattended, unaddressed. Our government provides their need for abusable substances in nefarious ways, my friends. Nefarious ways that they label community outreach, safe havens, clinics, service centers paid for by uninformed taxpaying sheeple. Oh, look, any junkie can pick up a methadone fix and necessary supplies by simply asking and then promising to attend the Narcanon meetings. You're not actually an addict or alcoholic if you don't attend the meetings, of course. But we'd rather enable this behavior than sever the root, dealing with the real issue. American manufactured madness, moral bankruptcy, spiritual indigence. These disenfranchised, displaced, discarded people are the unacknowledged signal of coming events, that being the impending collapse of the Republic. The dispossessed are mere symptoms of deeper problems in the Republic because the body politic, like all organisms, rots from within before the decay is evident on the surface. What you see on the streets of America are the fruits of the liberals' labor to transform this constitutional republic to their Marxist ideology surreptitiously. Well, the signals were there in our early days when partisan political parties battled to constrain our most precious gift, something that we once called freedom. They couldn't govern it, so they deprived us of it at a fragment at a time. A word here, a phrase there, twisting, contorting the meanings and intent until it mirrored the totalitarian manifesto of the monarchy, the original American Republic replaced. But once again, the aristocracy reigns. We have what they allow, just enough to sell the idea, but insufficient to really demonstrate the concept. The Democrat socialists, demosocs, as we call them, learned the Republicans or the Republic's weakness and exploited them skillfully to wrest jurisdiction as we stood idly by, lending tacit consent. Friends, our inaction spoke volumes to those intent on ruling this republic of ours. Our liberty was the victim. And then we watched and stood cheering as freedom fell. With autonomy abolished, the bureau rats flourished, invading, multiplying in the republic like a virus. It's simply amazing to me. The procession of carcasses and spoils of the conflict made a fitting spectacle for the incredulous conservative throngs who expected lightning bolt answers to their heavenly appeals. Oh, the Almighty told them centuries before that he helps those who help themselves. And yet in true American style, we recall the parts that suit our purpose, that, you know, that the he helps part, omitting the part requiring action, involvement, responsibility. Interesting little section from Book of James 2:14-17, where the question is asked, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is all of that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I would be drawn to the phrase, giving them what they need, in that passage. Does this republic, or the needy, actually need more stuff? Or do we need solutions derived through competent leadership? What they need are solutions. Not handouts. Charity is necessary, but enabling behavior by providing the substances and tools that promote it is reprehensible. Providing paraphernalia condones drug abuser behavior, encouraging and enabling addictions. Legalizing marijuana created a booming industry, flooded emergency facilities with cannabis-induced psychosis, schizophrenia, mood disorders, causes permanent IQ loss, anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide. Daily use reduces performance, causes relationship problems, worsens educational outcomes, lowers career achievement, lowers life satisfaction. And now the sheeple can safely graze and doze. Hey, look, Big Pharma. Big Pharma has a drug for every mental malady and complaint, especially those they cause but fail to disclose side effects from sloppy, profit-driven clinical trials and intentionally suppressing evidence. Did you know the word pharmacy comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which translates to witchcraft or sorceries? I guess pharmakia could also mean poisoning. Where's the Food and Drug Administration? The federal watchdogs keeping America safe from harmful and toxic chemicals or poisons in our consumables? Aren't they answerable as the agency monitoring these activities? Oh, remember, my friends, the end justifies the means. The end, in this case, is profit. $1.5 trillion. Who's responsible for these leaders? Isn't that us? Why can't you see that inaction is the most significant root in this forest of problems? If we are culpable and answerable for electing the misrepresentatives and the demigods we create, we can most certainly undo and remove them, can we not? Can we? As our employee, they answer to us, not the other way around. That's where America stands at this moment. Our employees are running or ruining the Republic, and we allow it. As Richard Rowland said, the inmates are running the assignment. The inmates are running the asylum. An allusion to the short story by Edgar Allan Poe. Piece that he published in 1845 called The System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather. Believe nothing you hear and only one half that you see. The decisions of the past 75 years have laid waste to our Constitution in the name of sovereignty over the Republic and the subordination of its citizens. Us. We, the people, have hired megalomaniacs to legislate our affairs. Their laws are not in our best interest, but in theirs. And hence we have to ask, who gains from these decisions? Who pays for those decisions? Who goes into government with middle-class wealth and exits a multimillionaire? And though I ask once again, who benefits from their decisions? It's not us, that's for damn sure. If you spend more than you earn, do you add another credit line to borrow more or find ways to cut costs to reduce the spending? If you're a taxpayer, you find ways to reduce spending, but if you're a politician, you invent ways to bite the hand that feeds you and blame the other party or someone else for the mess you made. You see, America writes bogus checks. Deficit spending is a matter of routine. And national debt grows by the nanosecond. You don't believe me? Here's a few salient and eye-opening figures. The national debt right now stands at somewhere over $45.3 trillion. Our unfunded liabilities exceed $429.3 trillion. The interest on this debt is $835 billion annually, projected to exceed $1 trillion in less than 2 years. America's 2023 revenue is $4.8 trillion. America's 2024 budget is $6.9 trillion. America's 2024 projected revenue is $5.2 trillion, which means America must forgive student loan debt $1.63 trillion just to buy China Joey votes. America pays the United Nations $12.5 billion per year for the privilege of being the world's police force. And America sent $530 billion to other countries through the Buy a Friend program, of course. But we need to send more than $75 billion to Ukraine to fight our proxy war with Russia? Did you know that the Ukrainian government faces a... $43.6 billion deficit for 2024. Guess who's coming to dinner? And the planning is an extended stay. The rationale for this insane spending, my friends, is the end justifies the means. If you're curious about these ends, ask the military-industrial congressional complex, but don't expect the straight answer. America funds these conflicts so the sheeple may safely graze. Meh. Meh. I recall a slogan from the Vietnam era, and I have to clean it up. Fighting for peace is like screwing for virginity. And here we are again, just in different countries. We have not learned one damned bloody thing. Big Brother estimates there's about 16.8 million invaders in America. Of course, the actual number is hidden from us. But the best guess is well over 25 million. Added to the massive number that we're already here, the number approaches 40 million people living on our generosity. The impact on the deficit is somewhere around $16,000 per illegal alien or invader. Do the math. Where does this money come from? Under Big Brother's watchful scrutiny and expert supervision, 40 million more sheeple may safely graze. America would be a prosperous and productive country if Big Brother's programs produce the advertised benefits, which they don't and won't. Our republic succumbed to Cicero's fate, my friends. Our misrepresentatives have emasculated and decapitated Merca, figuratively and literally. Simple. These words from Marcus Tullius Cicero when he stated, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly, but the traitor moves among those within the gate freely. His sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself." Much to think about here. And I hate to have to even think about it. It is appalling to me what we've allowed ourselves to be surrounded by, controlled by. The fights are not going to cease. We, the people, must stand up and accept responsibility. And if we want to see it corrected, then we are the ones that have to do it. The basis of this commentary tonight started my morning. Sheeple may safely graze. My friend Charles Dickens. We're keeping busy in these battles of ours. It has become unbelievably frustrating to me. It is oh so appalling to wake up to see these battles every single day to see headlines every day, to see insanity every day. It's like the email I received from this guy last night. He thinks I turn on the TV and buy into the bullshit. I don't. I've been a student for well over 60 years. I read, I study. The things he accused me of were in his own mind. Misunderstood, misread, misquoted. That's his problem, not mine. The things that he accused me of ignoring and overlooking, I did not. He didn't like the answer I gave. That's not the purpose of this program tonight. I sent the man's email out to two different people. One was Charles Dickens. One was Justin O. Smith. They were both shocked at the insanity of this man's writing, which just babbled on and on and on. Maybe because I spoke in a manner that offended him, that he did not agree with, as far as the things that I shared on the air. Oh, I'm a human being. I make mistakes just like the rest of us do. But as a general rule, what I do on the air, all based on the challenges that were given to me by my fifth grade teacher, Donald Adair, to don't ever stop searching for truth. And I won't. You and I, whomever you may be, we could sit down for coffee and have some disagreements. Most of us have enough intelligence and enough wherewithal to listen to what the other one says and come to an agreement in one form or another. That's not always going to happen. We're dealing with the human animal. Based on this man's writing, and it's several different times he's written to me, I've gotten to the point I won't answer him. It's a waste of time. But what is not a waste of time is when I get responses back from other people because of the program or because of something we've had published or because of a particular writer that we may have published his work on numerous occasions. Those are the things that are important to challenge, to get people to listen, to get people to discuss, to talk, to look, to share. Not just shoot a statement out and say, I'm right and you're wrong. Because that is when you're wrong. Some of the other headlines that we published early this morning. Gold soars past 2100 to a new record. Analysts did not expect it to stop there. Prices of the yellow metal have risen for two consecutive months, supposedly along with the Israel-Palestinian conflict, boosting demand for the safe haven asset. While expectations of interest rate cuts have provided further support, gold tends to perform well during periods of economic and geopolitical uncertainty due to its status as a reliable store of value. Gold prices are expected to remain well above $2,000 levels next year. Spot gold prices rose to a new record high yesterday. Yeah, they gave up some gains. There was a point where it did reach about $2,084 yesterday. But there's one key factor to remember. All that glitters is gold. If you don't have any, start one piece at a time. Do some things that are affordable. Get a form of gold in your hand that is going to be barterable, tradable, recognizable globally. And that's what we do here. Our parent company is Kettle Moraine, LTD. It's a glacier comet, Kettle Moraine. Did I ever tell you how we came up with the name Kettle Moraine for our corporation? It was the night before I had to meet an attorney to file corporation papers. I didn't know what the hell I was going to call this damn thing. I happened to be going through some family paperwork, came across a newspaper, which had a picture of my grandfather and his girlfriend Thea in it at a coin show in Maquonago, Wisconsin. Now, I'm the only grandchild born in Wisconsin. I consider it my home even to this day. What a story. Oh, the newspaper is referred to as the, I can't remember it, the legal reference to Kettle Moraine County or something of that nature. I understood the Kettle Moraine. It's a reference to ice slides, things of that nature, the things that cause the shifting of nature to create the state of Wisconsin. I'm growing tired now, so I'm blanking on words. But that's when I made the decision. That's where I was born. Kettle Moraine Territory. And that became my corporate entity. Never has it changed. So we can make reference to our various different websites, federalobserver.com, Sierra Madre Precious Metals, which in the past has also been known as Morgana Precious Metals, Flying Eagle Gold and Silver Precious Metals, goes on and on and on. It's all Kettle Moraine. Reality. If we can be of help. I've got clients looking for some junk silver right now. Actually, I was able to find some for a client. That was not an easy thing to do. It's become very limited. Outrageously expensive. Now, the biggest problem with junk silver, you know what junk silver is, right? Old dimes, quarters, and half dollars. American coins, which were only 90% silver content. It's only going to be us old farts that are going to understand their value. But we're all going to be stuck with having to trade with younger people who have no freaking clue what the hell we're talking about. Well, I got me a quarter in my pocket, and it ain't worth that. That's right. Amazing. Other headlines. U.S. money supply is shrinking for the first time since the Great Depression. I apologize, I'm coughing. Over the very long term, no asset classes outperform the stock market on an annualized return basis, but over shorter timelines, the performance of the iconic Dow Jones Industrial Average, broad-based S&P 500, and the innovative-driven NASDAQ composite, is no more predictable than a roll of the dice or the flip of a coin. Flip of what? Never mind. But since that debate began, the Dow Jones, S&P 500, and NASDAQ have bounced back and forth between bull and bear markets. in each successive year. And though all three major indexes are well off their 2022 bear market lows, volatility still rules the roost on Wall Street and has investors wondering where stocks will head next. For the first time in 90 years, U.S. money supply is meaningfully contracting. What this decline in commercial bank credit clearly shows is that banks are tightening their lending standards and being stingier with where they lend their money. In short, my friends, it's a recipe for an economic slowdown. Another headline, oil prices could shoot up to $100 a barrel amid a barrage of supply disruption risks in 2024. Keeping in mind that some of those supply disruptions are partially Joey and company's fault. Yeah. Enough is enough. Other bank-related headlines. Unauthorized withdrawals hit customers at major U.S. banks. There's an article that talks about what's triggering those transactions. It's something well worth looking at, because I can almost guarantee you some of you have been affected by some of these kind of situations. Also, an interesting video that we published from Bob Moriarty. It's entitled, "The World's Financial System is an Accident Waiting to Happen." It's a YouTube video. You can see it on the website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Well worth listening to Bob Moriarty's words. The world's financial system is an accident waiting to happen. More headlines, more Americans tapping into retirement savings as hardship withdrawals rise. Significant jump in the number of Americans yanking money out of their 401 accounts to pay bills, to buy necessities. All these things, the latest sign that the U.S. consumer is experiencing increasing levels of financial strain. In a new report from Fidelity, the nation's largest provider of 401k plans, reveals a troubling trend that Americans are, in fact, increasingly tapping their retirement savings in the form of hardship withdrawals and loans. The report shows 2.3% of U.S. retirement plan participants took a hardship withdrawal in the third quarter of this year, up from 1.8% in the third quarter of the year before. And avoiding foreclosure or eviction and covering medical expenses were two of the top reasons given for taking hardship withdrawals. Another interesting commentary. College enrollment falls as more students question the return on their investment. Are they actually questioning the return on their investment? I guess that if I had to go get myself involved with a school loan, wonder how I was going to pay it back, I think I'd have to give serious concern as to why I wanted to participate in that little game. Let's just say that I don't. Of course, Joey will come along and, you know, just give you your pay off your debt. I mean, think about that. If Joey will pay off your bet, we're in good shape. Headline we posted the other day, American workers, are you happy to pay $1,800 each to wipe out the student debt of the privileged elite who will earn $52,000 a year? Because that's your bill for Desperate Joe's naked bribe for votes.
President Biden, thank you for canceling the student debt.
Oh, yeah. Think about that. All this money. People go to work. They can't make enough money to pay their own school loans back. You know what? I'm starting to fall asleep. I apologize to you. It's been a long day. I'm actually having a very long couple of days. And getting back into the habit of doing a two-hour program, I'm getting there. I'm comfortable with it. Had a couple of comments made about how much calmer and more quiet that I was. Anyway, it's time to go. I'll do so with these words. Only 36% still believe in the American dream. Where do you stand, my friends? Thanks for being with me tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night. Do not miss that program. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with the guns and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances. Say, I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak of. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is a coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.